Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 6th. Coming up this hour,
Americans head to the polls to determine control of Congress.
Up for grabs, 35 Senate seats, all 435 House seats, and 39 governorships.
Politics loom large for traders as global stocks enter a holding pattern ahead of the vote.
President Trump and former President Obama make final pitches for today's midterms. Plus, the man accused of mailing pipe bombs will be in a New York court today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Tough loss for the Knicks. The Bulls beat them in double overtime at the Garden. Devils won. Islanders lost. Titans beat the Cowboys in Monday Night Football.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And a bit of a mixed picture across global stock markets this morning. Investors entering a holding pattern, it would seem, ahead of the midterm elections. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures right now 8 points lower. That's down 0.3%. The Dow futures down 63 points. That's down 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 34 points lower, down 0.5%. The German DAX down 0.3%. FTSE 100 in London down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris down 0.4%. The Nikkei 225, the exception, that was up 1.1%. 10-year yield in the U.S. 3.19% as the price increases by 2/32. We have NYMEX crude this morning down 22 cents a barrel. That's down 0.4% at $62.88. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. As Americans head to the polls today, most predictions call for a split Congress. That's an outcome that could dramatically alter the second half of President Trump's term. Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli reports.
Polls show Democrats with a strong shot at winning the 23 seats needed to flip the House, while the electoral map gives Republicans an advantage in holding the Senate. Votes will be cast for 33 members of the Senate, plus two special elections, and all 435 seats in the House, as well as 39 governorships. It's the most expensive midterm campaign in U.S. history, and estimated to have the biggest turnout as well. Polls show Senate races in Arizona, Nevada, Missouri, Indiana, and Florida all within the margin of error, with those in Montana and Texas also tight. Kevin Cirilli, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Kevin, thanks. And while Wall Street awaits results from today's vote, most traders aren't expecting anything like the lift that stocks had after the 2016 election. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider reports.
Investors warn that the widely expected outcome of a divided Congress may not be fully baked into asset prices, but their views on the potential impact differ depending on where they're sitting. For those outside the U.S., trade is front and center, with China's yuan particularly exposed. American investors are more focused on the chances of increased government spending, which could push the economy into overdrive, boost treasury yields, and in turn, sink stocks. No matter where they are, few expect the recovery in risk appetite that typically follows midterm elections. In New York, Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And with most analysts, Jill, not expecting something like a post-2016 surge, Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says it's the removal of uncertainty rather than the actual results of the election that may matter most to markets.
No matter what the results are, there'll be a bit of an uncertainty premium removed afterwards, and that should help risk assets. It is true that investors are holding back because of this hype, because of this uncertainty. Therefore, they're underinvested, and that means they're more likely to start kind of piling back into assets in the weeks ahead, no matter what the results.
Although right now, markets do appear to be in a holding pattern ahead of the vote.
And still, analysts say some sectors could feel a direct impact from the election results. Bloomberg's Ramey Innocencio has details on that.
Analysts think pharma and bank stocks could get a boost. Donald Trump has threatened price controls on medication. Now, if Dems take the House, that could slow down or stop Trump's agenda. For banks, a split Congress might not have much impact, but Cowen is still overall positive. It says regulators installed by Trump would still keep pushing to change Obama's old rules. And then there's the possible negatives to a divided Congress, and tech companies could keep feeling the pain. Tech will still be the pinata that both the Democrats and the Republicans will be all too happy to hit. Concerns, of course, over data breaches, hacking, and election meddling definitely aren't going away anytime soon, and analysts expect more hearings brought by the Dems, too. Ramy Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
All right, thanks, Ramy. Now, one thing that's not likely to change after today's vote is President Trump's trade policies. Trade falls under the purview of the White House, and the president's hardline stance on China largely has bipartisan support anyway.
And meanwhile, China's vice president says Beijing is ready to discuss a trade solution with the U.S. Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
Vice President Wang Qishan told the forum that trade is still an anchor and propeller of China-U.S. relations. He said China will stay calm and sober-minded and embrace greater openness that he said would pave the way for win-win results. That said, there was a lecture too, as we often get from both sides in this dispute. Wang prefaced his support with a warning about the dangers of right-leaning populism and unilateralism. In Singapore, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. We've got some news from the world's biggest e-commerce company. Sources tell Bloomberg Amazon's search for a second headquarters is nearing an end. Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini reports the plans call for locations in two cities.
Amazon is said to be splitting its new planned headquarters into two, and we're told the frontrunners are Long Island City here in New York and Crystal City in Arlington, Virginia. Having two HQs could help Amazon avoid criticism for driving property prices sky high like it has in Seattle. Crystal City is close to the D.C. Power Center and close to one of CEO Jeff Bezos' homes. A Long Island City, Queens location could draw on the New York Metro's deep bench of tech talent and is also close to major airports. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Denise. And in deal news, Bloomberg News has learned General Electric is in talks to sell its commercial lighting division to American Industrial Partners. GE and AIP could announce a deal for the unit known as Current as early as this week. S&P futures ahead of the open. Right now down 5.5 points. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to find out what else is going on around the world. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us now. I'm imagining Election Day is top of mind, Michael.
Oh, yeah, Nathan. Thank you very much. The polls have just opened in New York and will stay open until about 9 p.m. on this Election Day. President Trump and former President Obama wrapped up a campaign blitz ahead of today's midterms. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Campaigning in Ohio, Trump spoke in dark terms of opponents who would bring boom times to a crushing halt.
If the radical Democrats take power, they will take a wrecking ball to our economy and to our future.
While Obama, speaking for Democrats in Virginia, spoke in upbeat terms about correcting the nation's moral compass and returning to the days when Americans worked together.
People start thinking, you know what, let me treat somebody the way I want to be treated. And suddenly, our public discourse, how we talk to each other, gets a little better.
Obama argued that voters have a clear choice.
Better's good.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is seeking a third term, is up against Republican Mark Molinaro. Voters across the state will also decide 27 seats in the U.S. House. One of several U.S. Senate races being watched is in New Jersey, as incumbent Democrat Bob Menendez is running against Republican Bob Hugin. Also in New Jersey, eyes are on a U.S. House race in the 11th District, where Republican Jay Weber is up against Democrat Mikey Sherrill. Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayoc is expected to make his first court appearance today in New York. Prosecutors say they will ask a judge to hold him without bail. Sayoc is accused of sending explosive devices to Democrats, critics of President Trump, and CNN. Millions of people in India are currently breathing in the world's most polluted air. Bloomberg's Ian Marlowe in New Delhi reports.
With thousands of farmers already burning their crops, many of India's cities have once again been engulfed in a thick, toxic smog. Air quality index levels in New Delhi soared above 400 on Monday, a reading considered hazardous. The air in Delhi was the worst in the world on Monday, four times worse, in fact, than China's notoriously polluted capital, Beijing, which had a reading of 93. By comparison, New York had a reading of just 16, which is considered healthy. In New Delhi, Ian Marlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks very much. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, long night at the Garden. The Knicks and Bulls played two overtimes. It was looking as if there'd be a third. Emmanuel Mudiay's driving shot with 3 seconds left in the second OT tied the game, but with 0.2 seconds left, Mudiay was called for a foul, and Zach LaVine's free throw gave Chicago a 116-115 win. LaVine scored a career-high 41 points. Enes Kanter with 23 points, 24 rebounds for the Knicks. Alonzo Trier, who started for the injured Tim Hardaway, scored 21 all after halftime. It was Moutier's best game with 16 off the bench. David Fizdale's Knicks are 3-8. They have had a lead in the fourth quarter or overtime in 7 of the 8 losses.
Good experience for our guys. Very competitive. I thought their guys really competed hard. Obviously, Zach LaVine is a serious handful. But I was really proud of our effort. Came down to point one. And we didn't get the break.
Knicks not thrilled with the foul call at the end. Another win for Golden State. That's 8 in a row. Toronto now 10-1. The Raptors won at Utah. Denver is 9-1. Beat the Celtics. Jamal Murray scored 48. What a time for the Devils' Brian Boyle to get his first career hat trick. The cancer survivor did it on Cancer Awareness Night in Pittsburgh. The Devils ended a 3-game losing streak with a 5-1 win. Islanders were going for a 6th straight win. They had a 3-1 lead but lost to Montreal 4-3 in a shootout. Monday Night Football saw Tennessee win at Dallas 28-14. Marcus Mariota threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for another. 2 Yankees named as finalists for American League Rookie of the Year. Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar. They'll compete with the Angels' two-way Japanese import Shohei Ohtani. Mets ace Jacob deGrom, obviously finalist for the NL Cy Young. His main competition will be the Nats' Max Scherzer. The winners will be announced next week. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, thanks very much. S&P futures are 6 points lower right now. That's a drop of 0.2%. Dow futures down 45, nearly 0.2% lower. NASDAQ futures down 29, a drop of 0.4%. The sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg's David Westin. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I am John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. And this on a day when futures in the U.S. point to a lower open. The S&P futures right now down 5 points. That's down 0.2%. The Dow futures, 44 points lower, down 0.7%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now down 26 points. That is down to 0.4% right now. The euro, 113.95. That's down 0.1. And sterling, 130.38. That's pretty much unchanged against the U.S. dollar. And the 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.19% as the price increases by 2/32. We have crude oil lower. NYMEX crude here in the U.S. down 17 cents a barrel. That's down 0.3 at 62.93. Now, the overseas markets, Nikkei 225 was the exception. That ended up 1.1%. Right now, the German DAX is down 0.2%. The FTSE in London is down 0.5%. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Voters across America are casting ballots of the first nationwide election of Donald Trump's presidency. Nothing is certain. Republicans have privately expressed confidence in keeping their narrow Senate majority, but fear the House will head to Democrats. The Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to let him end deportation protections for young undocumented immigrants urging the justices to bypass federal appeals courts to get the case resolved by next summer. In the NBA, the Knicks lost in double overtime against the Bulls. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Devils won along with the Bruins and Capitals. Monday Night Football, the Titans down the Cowboys 28-14. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Joined now on this Election Day morning by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And Kate, some of the first polls have opened now in places like New Jersey and Indiana. How late are you expecting to be up before we have a clear indication of which direction the control of Congress could be headed tonight?
Well, I think it could go one of two ways. We may get a very, very early indication once the first polls begin to close around 6 p.m. or at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and then a bigger wave at 7 p.m. I think that if the, you know, sort of Democratic tsunami that has been forecasted by some does materialize, there will be some early indications of that when the polls close, when the first batch of polls close on the East Coast. If it's going to be a much tighter race for control of the House, then I think that that will also become evident, and that means it could be a very, very late night, even into the early morning or Wednesday or Thursday before we know the outcome.
Oh, good. That'll be great for political watchers like you. But for the rest of us, oh, maybe so. But in terms of what the markets are looking for, they want certainty.
Absolutely. I think the longer that this drags out, or the potential for this to drag out, I think is perhaps the most challenging outcome for markets, because they don't really know then where things stand. I think that the less risk comes in sort of an early decision tonight that puts control of Congress either one way or the other would be preferable from the standpoint of market stability, for sure.
Yeah. And as you know, perhaps better than anybody, there are dozens of races among the 435 House seats up for grabs that really are being very closely contested. Which ones are you watching most closely?
So obviously, the sort of bellwether races tend to be in states that are, you know, on the East Coast or close to the East Coast, and in that first batch of poll closings that we're going to see in Indiana and Kentucky, there's portions of those states that are going to have their polls close at 6 p.m. They'll be the first in the country. And among those, there's a district in Kentucky where Republican Andy Barr is seeking re-election and being challenged by Amy McGrath. And I think that's being viewed as a potential bellwether for the rest of the country in terms of how the night might go. If we see McGrath actually go ahead and upset Barr there, I think that's going to give Democrats a lot of early encouragement and maybe an indication of things to come.
And we've already seen with early voting underway in several dozen states, the level of interest, I think interest is probably too light a word for this midterm election. We're seeing what could be record turnout.
Absolutely. And actually, in my hometown in upstate New York, they actually canceled at the last minute. There's voting at schools, and they canceled school today to accommodate anticipated high voter turnout. I've heard some examples of that happening in other places across the country. So I think, you know, the high voter turnout, I think, has been traditionally viewed as something that Democrats are enthusiastic about, because I think there's been a sense all along that the Democratic enthusiasm might be higher this election cycle as a backlash to Trump than Republican enthusiasm. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a given. 2016 was certainly a surprise in how it panned out. And I think that this election also bears, you know, close watching, and we'll start to get some indication of, you know, rather than people like me speculating about what could happen, we'll start to get an indication of what is happening in a few hours.
We've talked so much about how this appears to be a base turnout election, with President Trump on the stump talking about immigration and sort of red meat issues, while former President Barack Obama is trying to bring back the themes of hope that ushered him into the White House. Do we have any indication at this point which message seems to be driving through?
Well, I think that, you know, probably both messages are doing what they're designed to do, which is, you know, resonate with the base. And I think that there's a real recognition on the part of people who are out there trying to drive voters to the polls that this is going to be a base election, and both sides are playing to that. And so I think, you know, it certainly is the conventional wisdom that the Democratic base will be more motivated this time around than the Republican base. But I think there are certainly some countervailing factors to them. You know, we saw Trump bring up the Kavanaugh issue, the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings again yesterday. That's an issue that caused Republicans to be able to kind of energize their base and erode some of the enthusiasm edge that Democrats had earlier this year. And so, you know, we could see that be a factor as well.
I got to ask you about this tweet I saw from President Trump yesterday warning that law enforcement is looking very closely for the possibility of illegal voting. Could we see some drama today in terms of that?
I think that's definitely potentially in the cards. I think there's sort of two things here. One is whether or not there are, you know, voting irregularities outside of what we normally see every election cycle. It's a big country. Lots of people vote. There tends to be, you know, voting irregularities where there are sort of scattershot reports of people showing up at the polls, not being able to vote, that sort of thing. Whether that happens more broadly because of, you know, foreign interference or people that are specifically trying to tamper with elections to sort of incite chaos and disrupt the vote more generally, or whether they're is a real attempt, potentially on the part of Republicans, at voter suppression, which I think is a concern that's out there in light of Trump's tweet.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks for being with us on this election day. And stay with Bloomberg Radio for comprehensive coverage, all the results and analysis of what it'll mean for markets and investment in a special edition of Bloomberg Daybreak beginning at 4:30 Wall Street time tomorrow morning. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio.
For the fifth, casting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager, and we are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stock futures pointed lower as Americans head to the polls in the first nationwide election of the Donald Trump presidency. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has details.
The expectation is that we will see the Democrats take control of the House. Cook Political Report is predicting that Democrats will easily gain anywhere between 20 to 45 seats in the House. Remember, Democrats need to flip 23 seats to take control. So those numbers suggest that it's very possible we do see that outcome. Democrats are still expected to fall short in the Senate, though. So we're really just in a state of gridlock.
Thank you, Christine. We have much more on the election coming up in just a minute and throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio.
Ante, in other news, we're following a top deputy to China's President Xi Jinping says Beijing is still ready to talk trade with the U.S., but the vice president told the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore that China won't be, quote, bullied and oppressed by foreign powers.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May's cabinet expects to be locked in a room today to study the latest Brexit options in secret. Today's session likely to focus on one of the big stumbling blocks. That would be how to avoid customs checks at the Irish border with the UK.
And euro area businesses enter the final stretch of the year with the weakest growth in more than 2 years. A purchasing managers index for manufacturing and services fell to 53.1 in October. That's down from 54.1 in September.
GAM Holding has ousted CEO Alex Friedmanofter. The move comes following the suspension of a star manager that's left the investment firm fighting for its survival.
And coming up today, we get earnings from 21 companies in the S&P 500. That includes Eli Lilly, CVS Health, and Ralph Lauren.
We are coming up now on 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index Report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 1996, separately in today's extended morning trading. The VIX is currently at 20.17. John Tucker, that is this morning's Volatility Report.
And this is this morning's Data Check, Nathan Hager. S&P 500 right now, their futures are down 4.5 points. That's down about 0.2%. The Dow futures down 37 points. That's down about 0.2%. And right now, the tech-heavy NASDAQ E-mini futures, 21 points lower. That's down 0.3%. The 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.19%. The price, the benchmark, up 2/32 right now. The euro is at 113.95, down about 1/10 against the U.S. dollar. The yen is the exception, a little stronger against the greenback at 113.14. Sterling, 130.36, slightly unchanged against the U.S. dollar. Just ahead, a check of world and national news. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr on this Election Day 2018. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Voters across America will cast midterm ballots today. Polls show Democrats with a strong shot at flipping the House, while the electoral map gives Republicans an advantage in holding the Senate. Votes will be cast for 33 members of the Senate, all 435 seats in the House, and 39 governorships. President Trump was out trying to drum up support for Republicans. He visited three states, including Missouri, last night.
I need you to get your family, get your friends, get your neighbors, get your coworkers, and go out and vote for Republican Congress, for Republican Senate. Go out and vote Republican tomorrow.
Battling laryngitis, former President Obama spoke in Fairfax, Virginia.
You're going out there, you're going to make sure that people vote to start making things better. And when you do that, then the spirit of America is going to shine. All right, let's get to work.
Several states could determine whether Republicans will maintain, add to, or lose their majority in the U.S. Senate. It is a close Senate race in Texas, with Republican incumbent Ted Cruz being chased closely by Democrat Beto O'Rourke. On the eve of the election, Cruz appealed to all of his constituents.
If you care about jobs in Texas, you want a thriving energy industry, and you don't vote like Beto O'Rourke has.
O'Rourke, speaking with reporters, was asked about the caravan of migrants in Mexico and what he'd do if some in that group asked for asylum.
We are a city of immigrants, and we are made far stronger. We're more successful. We're safer than we would have been without their presence. So we will continue to do what we have always done, be a nation of immigrants.
The Trump administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to let the president end some deportation protections. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is specifically for young undocumented immigrants. Now, it's an unusual step in that it bypasses a federal appeals court saying it wants the case resolved by next summer. The program, as it currently stands, protects hundreds of thousands of young immigrants and shields them from deportation and allows them to seek work permits. A San Francisco-based federal court heard arguments in May, but hasn't ruled. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Knicks and Bulls played not one but two overtimes at the Garden, a game where the Knicks didn't get a basket for the first 5 minutes. They trailed by 10. They went from the first half to the first OT without a lead. Chicago's Zach LaVine took over in the second overtime. He scored all 8 of the Bulls' points. His free throw with less than a second to go won it for Chicago, 116-115. LaVine with a career-high 41 points. Knicks were without top scorer Tim Hardaway due to a sore back. Enes Kanter led them 23 points, 24 rebounds. Hockey in Pittsburgh, it was Cancer Awareness Night. The Devils' Brian Boyle is a cancer survivor, and he had his first career hat trick. They beat the Penguins 5-1, and Boyle talked about the help he has received since his diagnosis.
I think people generally do a pretty good job of uplifting people, and I was fortunate enough to be uplifted by all the people in here and my family. And it sucks, but I think there are enough good people in the world to kind of lift you up out of it.
Islanders lost to Montreal 4-3 in a shootout, blew a 3-1 lead. They get a point, but saw their five-game win streak come to an end. Tennessee won the Monday nighter in Dallas 28-14, so the Titans are 4-4. The Cowboys dropped to 3-5, the seat getting hotter for longtime Dallas coach Jason Garrett. Yankees GM Brian Cashman says he wants to re-sign free agent pitchers CC Sabathia and Jay Happ. Baseball's postseason awards will be revealed next week. Finalists were named. Two Yankees, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, finalists for AL Rookie of the Year. The Mets, Jacob DeGrom for the NL Cy Young. In a surprise, Boston's J.D. Martinez, not even a finalist for the AL MVP. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's get a look at today's midterm elections in the tri-state area with the races we're watching in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. In New Jersey, Democrat Robert Menendez is looking to fend off a challenge to his Senate seat from Republican Bob Hugin. It's been a heated campaign marked with biting attack ads and personal insults. Recent polls have Menendez leading the race. There are also several House seats up for grabs in the Garden State, with the closest contests coming in the 3rd, 7th, and 11th districts. In the 3rd, Republican incumbent Tom MacArthur is looking to hold off Democrat Andy Kim, polls showing the two candidates in a dead heat. In the 7th, Democrat Tom Malinowski has a small lead over Republican incumbent Leonard Lance. And in the 11th, it's a battle for an open House seat, with polls showing Democrat Mikey Sherrill holding a small lead over Republican Jay Weber. Meanwhile, in New York State, the tightest House races come in the 1st, 2nd, 19th, and 22nd districts. The first poll show Republican incumbent Lee Zeldin likely to hold off Democratic challenger Perry Gershon. In the 2nd District, GOP Representative Peter King is facing a strong challenge from Democrat Luba Gretchen Shirley. Upstate in the 19th, it's a dead heat between incumbent GOP Representative John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado. There's a similarly tight race in the 22nd, where Republican Claudia Tenney is looking to hold her seat in a race against Anthony Brindisi. Polls show New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with a comfortable lead against Republican challenger Mark Molinaro, and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand holding a commanding advantage over Republican Shell Farley. In Connecticut, Democrat Senator Chris Murphy's seat appears safe from GOP challenger Matthew Corey. A different story in the race for the governor of the Nutmeg State, with Democrat Ned Lamont holding a slight lead over Republican Bob Stefanowski. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, Election Edition. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. And with the midterm elections finally here, emotions are running high. Some are finding political clashes at work could have lingering consequences. Nancy Lyons has more on that from our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Workplace disputes are an increasing problem, according to a recent Randstad survey.
About half of the workers that responded to that study had seen political disputes kind of burst into heated arguments.
Bloomberg Law's Porter Wells.
You really have to make sure that you are enforcing your workplace policies equally, and you're not letting one group have a pass because you agree with that political ideology and not another side's.
Private companies can discipline or even fire employees because of their political views without violating federal law. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. And more than 34 million ballots have already been cast in early voting. That shatters records in states like Texas and Florida, where Senate and gubernatorial contests have grabbed national attention. Early voting is also higher in states where less is on the line nationally, including Maryland and North Carolina. This vote is poised to be the most expensive midterm in history, topping out at about $4.7 billion. The Center for Responsive Politics says Democrats are outpacing Republicans in fundraising in almost every race, and at least 255 women are on the ballot as major party congressional candidates. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is now 6:47 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. And let's go over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, John. Modest losses in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures down 30 points. S&P's dropped 4 and NASDAQ futures declined by 15. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.19% and Japan rose 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are also posting losses this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, the JOLTS job openings. And after the bell last night, Mylan and Marriott results were mixed. And regarding earnings this morning, Eli Lilly beat. AmerisourceBergen fiscal year adjusted EPS view missed estimates. And look for CVS to report around 7 o'clock. Ralph Lauren around 8. In deal news, General Electric is said to be in talks to sell its commercial lighting division. And in other news, Advanced Auto Parts price target raised to a street-high 205 over at Morgan Stanley, while UBS said that GE doesn't appear to have a liquidity issue. Wrapping things up, Con Ed was upgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, Shake Shack upgraded to buy over at Longbow, and Western Union cut to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. Once again, futures in the U.S. point to a lower open, with the S&P futures down 4 and the Dow futures down 33, the NASDAQ futures down 16. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The rough and tumble election season is coming to a close. Voters across America are casting the final ballots of the first midterm election of Donald Trump's presidency. Polls show Republicans maintaining their narrow Senate majority as Democrats flip the House. A local human rights representative says Mexico City is prepared to accommodate as many as 5,000 migrants making their way to the U.S. border. About 2,000 Central Americans made it to a stadium in Mexico's capital, where they were given donated clothes, food, and a place to sleep for the night. In the NBA, the Knicks lost in double overtime against the Bulls. The Celtics lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Devils won along with the Bruins and Capitals. Monday Night Football, the Titans down the Cowboys 28-14. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at a 6:49 on Wall Street on this Election Day 2018. Polls are open in New York, New Jersey, and most of Indiana right now. The White House says President Trump is going to spend today making phone calls and monitoring races across the country before watching the returns with friends and family tonight in the White House residence. Polls will begin to close at 6 p.m. Wall Street time in parts of Indiana and Kentucky, but the voting will go on into midnight on the East Coast when those final polls close in Alaska. Watching it all, we're sure. Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli with me now in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. You got enough coffee, Kevin?
Yes, a lot of coffee, okay. A lot of Wawa coffee.
So how late are you expecting to stay up before we know which direction the control of Congress will
Well, look,
have?
I'm going to be blunt here. I don't think we're going to have we're not going to know the exact majority of Democrats at midnight if Democrats, as expected, are going to take back the House of Representatives. And in fact, until all of the votes are counted and the runoffs and whatnot, we might not know until a couple of days just how much of a majority Democrats, if they are to have a majority in the House of Representatives, what that will be. That said, we should know relatively early in the night, if you look at the early polls that are closing, whether or not this will be a good night or a bad night for Democrats. Here's what I'm watching for. Look at the Virginia suburbs. Look at VA 10, for example, where Jennifer Wexton, the Democrat, has made the purple district in Northern Virginia quite competitive against Barbara Comstock. Also look at Kentucky, because okay, the early returns that are going to come in Kentucky at about 6 p.m., they tend to be a bit more Democrat, but look at the turnout. If you start to see large numbers of Democrats in Kentucky 6, for example, getting to the polls, that could mean that turnout is going to be up in across the nation, simply because Kentucky 6 is a bit more rural than what we see nationwide.
Are you holding out the possibility that Republicans defy expectations and hold on to one-party government in Washington?
I mean, there could be. I mean, you know, I'm not in the business of predicting.
Okay.
But I can say that if you look at the polls, it would suggest that everything that we've seen from the polling would suggest that Democrats are going to make gains in the House of Representatives and that Republicans will make gains in the Senate. But look to see what type of Democrats are elected in the House of Representatives in particular. Is this going to be a good night or a bad night for Nancy Pelosi? Because several of the Democrats running in the House of Representatives have raised the issue that they would like to see new leadership and a new speaker elected in the House of Representatives, someone different than Nancy Pelosi, who is, of course, in lockstep with nationwide donors for the Democratic Party, and how that is going to play into the type of policy that we could see. Is this going to be, if the Democrats win, a majority in the House that is going to be focused on impeachment and investigations or on infrastructure?
And in terms of the types of candidates the Democrats have put forward in this midterm election, and given the dynamics of the races that you'll be looking at, where do you see policy going over the next 2 years? Is there going to be room for both parties to work together on actual initiatives?
Look, opioid addiction, I think, is something that we could see. I think infrastructure, to some extent, is something we could see, particularly technological infrastructure. I think you could see some collaboration in terms of foreign policy, particularly in bolstering U.S. security among cyber protections with regards to Russia as other and China. Trade becomes interesting because in the Senate, for example, they're expected to have a Republican majority, but the approval of the USMCA or NAFTA 2.0, how's trade going to play? Are you going to see Democrats who are going to be speaking out against the president's trade policies? Or, you know, quite frankly, Senator Sherrod Brown up for re-election tonight in Ohio, he's a very progressive. I look at his statements. I look at Senator Elizabeth Warren's statements on tariffs. I don't see much policy difference between President Trump and those two on the issue of tariffs. Then you go to a state like Arizona, Nathan, where you have Kyrsten Sinema, who's a Democrat. She's not even saying that she's a Democrat in her campaign ads. I mean, let's think about that for a second. She's not even saying that she's a Democrat. So you have certain Democrats who are running away from the party line, i.e. Senator Claire McCaskill up for re-election in Missouri, clinging on to her political life in the sense that President Trump won that state. You've got Senator Joe Manchin running as a centrist as well, someone who voted for Justice Kavanaugh, but who also is really embracing the Democrats' message of health care, which became a closing argument of sense. So it's the bottom line is that there are many different types of Democrats running in this particular midterm. And I think that we should all take a deep breath when we are looking through the results tomorrow and say, okay, what specific, maybe this was just the best politician for that particular state or that particular district.
A lot of focus there on the Senate. Obviously, yeah. President Trump in the final days of the campaign has been focused on maintaining or perhaps extending Republican control of the Senate. What could that mean in terms of policy moving forward in the upper chamber?
Confirmations. I mean, this is a president who, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, has said they want to change the Supreme Court. They want to reshape judicial appointees. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there's going to be a massive reshuffling of the president's cabinet. And there might even be a musical chairs argument. I mean, you could have, for example, Secretary of HUD, Ben Carson, maybe shifting to another agency. So you're going to hear a lot about that. And you know, let's not forget the Russia investigation. Will the president fire Rod Rosenstein? Will, you know, Bob Mueller and whatnot? I thought it was interesting to see that the president pulled up on stage last night, Congressman Jim Jordan, a very staunch conservative from the state of Ohio. That's really interesting. So maybe he is hopeful. Maybe he thinks that they can win the House. It would be a dramatic loss for Democrats if they lose the House.
Quick answer, Kevin. How much rest are you expecting before you start ramping up for 2020?
None, because I live for this, and I can't wait to cover 2020. When do I get back on the road?
When do
I go on the trail?
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cerulli, thanks for taking a break from the road to be part of our pre-election coverage. And stay with Bloomberg Radio. We're going to have the results and analysis of what it means for investors in a special edition of Bloomberg Daybreak starting at 4:30 a.m. Wall Street time tomorrow morning here on Bloomberg Radio. John?
He needs decaf, actually. Yeah. Yeah. 6:56 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Let's check in with Bob Moon.
It is, so to speak, one of those damned if you do or don't stories, spelled, mind you, D-A-M-M-E-D. A newly released report warns that large hydropower dams will become a less sustainable source of renewable energy as the climate changes. The study from the University of Michigan concludes that unpredictable weather extremes, especially severe climate-driven droughts, are likely to reduce the ability of the dams to generate electricity. It finds that hydropower developers are not accounting for climate change when making power generation projections for their dams. More than 70% of the world's renewable energy comes from hydropower, and the Energy Information Administration says dams are the largest U.S. renewable energy source. The report finds many dams around the world already have seen their ability to generate electricity fall in recent years. In the U.S., Hoover Dam built a new turbine at a lower elevation to account for declining reservoir levels during ongoing droughts. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thanks, Bob. And we're brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. CVS out with earnings. They're reporting an adjusted earnings per share for the third quarter. It beat the average analyst estimate. It's $1.73. The estimate was for $1.71. Probably more importantly, third quarter comparable sales of 6.7%. That, of course, beating the estimate for 5.6%. And it's a full-year adjusted earnings per share. They're raising that just a tad. So good results for CVS this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures this morning, they are down 6 points ahead of the market open. This is Bloomberg.